This is the It Ain't It Sis podcast, a podcast where we focus on life's pivots and redirections, relationships, and becoming a boss babe. I'm your host, Sarah Whitney, and this is a space where honesty, humor, and a whole lot of sass collide. No one has it figured out. So it's completely fine if sometimes it ain't it, sis. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the It Ain't It Sis podcast. I'm Sarah, your host. And today I sat down with Natasha Smith, who is an Enneagram expert and coach, and I am super excited for this one. It's definitely an episode that is informative, and I thought it was really important to kind of bring someone on my podcast that knows really how to, I guess, uncover what kind of personality type you are. I don't know. I think knowing who you are in terms of how you interact with people and how you kind of cope with stress and just go throughout your daily life, I think it's really important to know what kind of person you are in that regard. So that's why I reached out to Natasha, and I'm really excited for you guys to listen to this episode. Before you do listen to it, though, I think you should probably take the Enneagram test yourself. You can either take one. I think it's on the enneagraminstitute.com. It's $12, and it takes about 45-ish minutes. So if you don't have time, honestly, I didn't take the one where you had to pay. I took the one online. I forget what site it's called, but it was free, took me 10 minutes, and I basically got the gist. I am a 3-wing 2, which means I'm very ambitious. I am the achiever, yet I have a nice sensitive side because, you know, I really like a good cry, and I don't know, it suits me, so it made sense. But other than that, hopefully you guys can get something out of this in regards to how you interact with others, with people, with your family, with your friends, the whole nine yards. Hopefully you can apply this to your life, and I don't know, hopefully you find it interesting. But anyways, in terms of a life update, you know, I'm working the 9-to-5 life, and you know, I'm doing the thing. That's all really I can say about that. But my life's been pretty boring. I did, though, of course, it is Monday night, and I always put out these episodes on Tuesday. So yes, I am kind of scrambling and just very typical, but whatever. But this weekend, I did go snorkeling with a friend, and it was so, so fun. I felt like a little kid. I actually used to be a snorkel tour guide and a kayak tour guide. So when I was taking my friend out, I was pretending to be, you know, back in my element, pointing out all of the fish. Honestly, I kind of forget what they were all called. I know the state fish in California is called the Garibaldi. It looks like a giant goldfish. There's really nothing special about it. But, you know, I said all my facts that I remembered, probably lied about a few, but it's okay. We saw a lot of seals. We saw people cliff diving, which wasn't smart. And then, yeah, that's basically what I did. Oh, and then we got ice cream after. But I remember I didn't get ice cream, so I kind of lied when I said that. He got ice cream, and I watched him eat the ice cream because I'm lactose intolerant, and I didn't have my Lactaid with me, and I was not about to just have a moment right there on a Saturday afternoon, you know? So that was my exciting weekend, you know, another day in the life in quarantine. I drank some wine, but that's really all I did. I mean, I think I'm kind of embracing quarantine, I think, in terms of being just more chill. I woke up at 5:45 on Saturday morning, and I went to bed on Friday night at 9:30. Who am I? Like, oh my gosh, I am a new woman. And I think I like it for the most part, but I'm kind of scared when I have to go back to work and I can no longer tan while I'm calling people on the phone all day. You know, that does not sound ideal to me, being in an office all day long, but it's okay. I have a lot to be grateful for. But that's a little life update that I have. Nothing very exciting. I'm sorry to disappoint, but you know, it's the little things in life that you have to look forward to. And before we get into the podcast, I want to say, make sure you subscribe if you haven't. what are you doing? Do it now. And also follow me on TikTok. Oh, yes, I said it. Follow me on TikTok. I think it's SarahHumps7. Guys, I really, really don't know what I'm doing. I only have 4 videos up. I can't dance at all. I have 1 dancing video, and it was with my friends on 4th of July on a boat. And I had a few white claws. So therefore, terrible dancing ensued. And yes, I did make up the dance. So you can't hate me for that. I was very creative in the midst of creating this TikTok. But the other TikToks that I have, I'm going to try to make it more podcast, kind of entrepreneurial based, I guess. I don't know. I want to make it professional as you can be on TikTok, yet engaging. Oh, and then I also have a TikTok about San Diego. See, I really don't know what I'm doing. I should really make like this whole marketing plan when it comes to TikTok, but here we are. You just can't. You just have to go with it and hopefully hope that people watch. I don't know how the algorithm works at all. But anyways, follow me on TikTok and subscribe to this podcast. Those are the big 2 announcements that I have of this week. So enough of me rambling. Let's get into the podcast. Hi, Natasha. Thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah. Thanks for having me. I'm excited to chat about the Enneagram.
I know. I'm super excited. I, for one, don't know much about the Enneagram. I know my numbers. I know my wing. But other than that, I don't really know that much. So I'm really excited for you to kind of teach us all what it's about and what you do. But before we get started, could you just kind of tell me about yourself and how you kind of got started with using the Enneagram?
Yeah, so I am a mom of 3 beautiful girls. I've been married to my high school sweetheart for going on 15 years, which is crazy. We get married young. But as far as I'm super multi-passionate, so I've got my hands in tons of different stuff. But the Enneagram has been one of those things that I always, it's just super interesting and you never get sick of it. So you always can learn something new. I got into the Enneagram really through my counselor about 3 years ago. I had 3 or 4 years ago now. I just was at a point where I felt like I had lost myself. I remember looking in the mirror and being like, who am I underneath all of this? Like, who am I? And that really kind of jump-started my journey to figuring that out. So I started with counseling and she right away recommended that I take the test. And so I took the test and that was kind of it. And so I found it super interesting because I tested as a 3, but the certain parts resonated with me, but some of it didn't. And I'm like, well, I don't do the actions that I do because of like the motivation of a 3. So I just dug in and read and studied everything that I could because I was like, well, I want to find myself on this and this is totally not it to some extent. So yeah, after taking multiple tests and studying, I figured out that I was a type 6. So I'm a 6 with a very strong 7 wing and really kind of just, I think, was an unhealthy 3 because 6s go to 3 when they're unhealthy. And I think I just kind of lived in that kind of zone growing up. And but really the underlying reason I acted that way was more of a 6.
Okay, that's super interesting because I didn't know that. I guess a lot of times you can be another number, but you really are another number.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, the behaviors.
Okay. Okay, that makes sense. Yeah, because sometimes I've taken the test, but it was a free one online. Mm-hmm. And for some of the results I got back, I was like, I feel like this is not me. But overall, I think I am a true 3 because I'm very much of the achiever.
Yeah.
But what is the difference between other personality tests and the Enneagram test? I know this one has definitely become more popular as years have gone on, but I know kind of growing up, especially I think in my like high school home ec class, they made me kind of take and everyone the Myers-Briggs test. Mm-hmm. So what's the difference between the Enneagram and then all of the rest of the other personality tests?
Yeah, I think that's cool that they had you take a personality test in high school because I wish it was the Enneagram, but that's okay. So really the biggest difference between them is the Enneagram goes deeper into saying why you act the way you act, where Myers-Briggs really goes based on your outward actions and how you act every day. So, and then the Enneagram really is it does show you what you do, but it's just deeper than that. It goes based on the why, your motivation behind doing it. So that's why it's so different than any other personality test, and why a lot of people have been using it for tons of years to have personal growth, business growth, relationally. It's just because it gets down to the core versus just like the masks that we wear.
Okay. That makes actually way more sense, because I think I remember when I was taking one of those other personality tests, it said I was extremely, extremely extroverted, which I mean, I am, but even to my core, I kind of like to just have alone time. Cause yeah. if I'm one of those people who, if I don't have alone time, I think I explode or something. Mm-hmm. So
overload.
I know. And it's not a cute look. So I think that is why I personally like resonated most with the Enneagram test. Cause I mean, I didn't realize, but it does kind of look more in like the inner workings of who you are.
Yeah, for sure.
But I was also watching one of your most recent YouTube videos about like the three common issues when taking the Enneagram test. Mm-hmm. So can you speak on that and like what are those and how does that work?
Yeah, so the most common issues that I see with people taking Enneagram tests is, one, they take it based on what they do versus why they do what they do. So when you're doing that, you can come up with a whole different number. For me, I look on the outside. I do act like a three. I resonate with a lot of the things the three has. And that's why I tested that way over and over and over again. It wasn't until I realized, okay, I need to go based on why do I want to achieve? What is the underlying thing? And for me, it's anxiety. I don't want to have anxiety. So about not having enough or not doing enough. So I achieve, or I, you know, can become a workaholic in that way. But whereas a three is doing that because they want to be seen as, you know, successful and the best at what they do. For me, it's more, as long as my bank account looks successful, I don't care how I look on the outside as much. I just need to have that to be at peace a little bit and not to have so much anxiety. So that's one of the biggest ones that I see. And then the second one is going to be when you take the test, you get three top scores. And a lot of time people don't understand that those are just three top scores. It isn't like your main one. So I'll just give you, for example, like 3, 6, 1. It doesn't mean necessarily that you are a three. It could mean that you just tested the highest as a three. And then maybe just a couple, you've got, you know, a little bit less in the six, but you're still really high up there. And then the same with the one. It doesn't mean that you're a three with a six wing, which a lot of people think. It is, there's no such thing as a three with a six wing. That's one of my biggest pet peeves. I always see people like, oh yeah, I'm a two with a seven wing. And I'm like, the wings are on either side.
Yeah, that's what I realized, I think, when I was initially taking it, because I tested as, I was high for a lot of them. I think I was a 3.99%. Yeah. I think I tested for a three, but I would also like say I definitely am a three, but then I also got 4 and then I got an 8, and I think 8 was like my third highest. So I think for a while I was telling people, yeah, I'm a 3 with a wing 2 and a wing 8. And I was like, I don't think that's right.
Yes, exactly. And that's where it gets confusing though, because there's no like, especially when you take the free ones, there's no in-depth like instructions, I feel. They're just like, here, take the test, have fun. But there's so much more to it. So understanding, so what I always say is if your three top scores, if you're going to take a test, because I'd rather you not use a test to find your type. But if you're going to take a test, really make sure that you study each one of the three top, or even the two top if you're not wanting to do all three. But that will really help to see, is this what I am or not? Because it can help with how you grow. If I had said I was a three, I would still get growth from that, like moving towards a nine and becoming a little bit more easy, you know, easygoing and things like that, but not as much as I would if I have my core Enneagram type.
Okay. No, that totally makes sense. And that just cleared up everything for me too.
Good.
Cause I think I had a lot of false information that I was mm-hmm. kind of storing in the back of my head about this. So that definitely cleared that up for me. But then also I know that there are subtypes to mm-hmm. your core Enneagram number. And I think it's like self-preservation, social, and one-to-one, if I'm correct.
Yep. Yep.
Okay. And so could you explain that and how that works too? Because I feel like if you don't know that that exists, then you can definitely mm-hmm. you are a different number.
Yes, 100%. And that's actually how I found out that I was a six, based on the subtypes. When I started to read and learn about subtypes, it was huge. But so with the subtypes, I'll kind of like bring it back a second, as you have to find your main type, or try to find that, at least narrow it down to three, you know, and then go from there. What really, and try and narrow it down even farther. But the subtypes are going to be kind of like on top of your main type, if that makes sense, because you could really use subtypes as a whole nother typing system. It's so intricate. And that's where the Enneagram, it's, there's so many layers. So you've got your, you know, your main type, you've got your wings, and then you've got your subtypes. So the subtypes are, each type has three subtypes. Self-preservation, which are going to be people who are worried about, you know, having enough. They're going to be worried about their resources. A lot of times they hoard their resources. They're going to be very, they might have a ton of money, and most of them probably do, because they kind of hoard their money, but you would never know from the outside looking in. And then each, you know, type looks a little different based on self-preservation, but a lot of times that's going to be like the underlying motive. And then you've got social, and those aren't necessarily going to be always extroverted, but they are going to want to get along with the group. They're going to want to know how they fit in and what the, you know, the dynamics are of the group. They want to make sure that they are included and that they're including others. This could be people that are constantly, you know, they send gifts, they send little notes, and it doesn't mean they're a type two, even though they have some of those qualities. And that's where some of the confusion can come in too. But really, it's just their type and then how they kind of operate in the world to get along. And so that social, wanting to be a part of a group, and really how they feel safe by having that group, knowing that they have a support system. And then the one-to-one, or sometimes called sexual, is more, they want just those one-on-one relationships. So it can be a sexual relationship, but it could be a friendship. It could be a work relationship. I think we all kind of have that one friend who's like, no, I just want to, like, just me and you know, like, you don't have, they don't want to go out into a huge group, or, but that is going to be the one-to-one. They want to have that intimacy with just one person and have a really close connection. So it can be, like I said, a sexual relationship, and they can come off as that too, but it's really just wanting that intimacy and that deep connection with another person. And they don't want to have it with everyone. They just want to have it with a lot, like just you and I today, you know, not me, you, and five other people.
Okay. And then would the one-to-one be more of a person who is naturally introverted then?
No. See, and that's where the subtypes are all totally different. You can be extroverted, introverted, in any sort of one. So it just depends on how it mixes. And that's where, you know, how it mixes with your subtype. And so it's pretty interesting. And then out of the three subtypes, you always have one that goes against the main, like, motivation of that type. So for a six, there's going to be one that is going to show up as, you know, courageous and bold and kind of look maybe like more of an eight. And usually that is a sexual one-to-one subtype.
Oh, okay. That's super interesting. That's what I think I like about this Enneagram test, because there is so many layers that go mm-hmm. into it, versus the other ones are just so kind of surface level in a way. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So I think that's super helpful. I kind of looked around and did some research, and I think I am the social subtype with a three and then a wing two, because I definitely identify as like a two. I'm very emotional. I love doing handwritten cards to my friends.
Yeah.
Just for fun. So I think that's like what I identify as.
Yeah. That makes sense.
And then I had another question too. So are there any Enneagram types that don't necessarily get along? I know with like the horoscope, there are certain signs they say, I guess, a Taurus shouldn't be with, I don't know, a Capricorn. I mean, I honestly don't know. So don't quote, no one should quote me on that for saying that, because I know also nothing about horoscopes. But you know what I'm saying? Like,
yes, compatibility and stuff. Yes. Yeah. And with the Enneagram, I would say that any type can get along and any type cannot get along. I've noticed that different types gravitate towards different types. But then I meet people who are married to somebody, I would be like, no, how does that work? But because of the wings that they use, depending on, you know, the wings they use, it could be totally different. They could be a three, but really look like a four, or a three that looks like a two, and, you know, all of that kind of stuff. And then you layer your subtype on top of it, which kind of can muddy that even more. So I think really it just really depends. And I don't think that there's one type that's better together than another. I think maybe like an eight, because they're very bold and blunt. An eight would work great together, and an eight would work awful together at the same time, you know, if they're both kind of always butting heads, but at the same time, that's how they communicate love too. So it can get a little difficult. So I think, yeah, just depends.
Okay. I want my family to all take this test, because I think sometimes, you know, we mm-hmm. love each other, but then there's also family. Yeah. Fight a little bit. So I feel like if we actually were to, you know, come together, take this test and figure out how we actually work as a human, then I think maybe we could like solve some of our issues.
Yeah.
But I know that you do a lot of like, I guess, relational work with people. And have you seen any kind of complete 180s with people you've worked with, or even with yourself with using the Enneagram?
Yeah, in relationships mostly. Okay. So I would say I'll use myself as an example, and then I've got a couple other ones that I could use too. But for me, I know 100% that when I found out, so my husband and I both took the test at the same time, and we both came out as a three, which he's 100% a three. But when I started to research it more and realize, you know, he didn't become a workaholic and was never home because he was like working so much because he didn't want to be around us. It was because he wanted to make sure we had the life that we wanted and the life that he wanted for us. And when I realized that, it was like, oh my gosh, everything that I think, you know, you're going away because you don't like us, or you don't want to be around us today, or this and that, you know, how your brain can just go. Mm-hmm. And when I realized that, it was totally different. Our conversations started to change because I realized it wasn't against me. It was just his way of showing love. And I realized all those different times that I thought, oh my gosh, he just, you know, isn't here with us, and he should be. And so that was really big. Also, understanding your partner or your friends or your family's type helps you to communicate better with them. And when you have that communication, you just connect totally different than before. And I've noticed this with my husband and my kids. I have three girls, and my oldest is a one, and my middle daughter is a three with a four wing, really strong four wing, I believe. And my youngest daughter, we don't know yet. I have my theories, but when
you have to wait until like an age where they kind of have their personality developed.
Yeah. And I think also for them to answer correctly, you know, because my youngest daughter is eight, she's not really going to understand what I'm asking. And so
yeah.
I don't want to get it wrong, I guess. But yeah, so with them, understanding that like my middle daughter, we always butted heads. And so understanding that she's a three with a four wing, and she just feels things so different than my oldest daughter, who can like analytically put everything together. And this one is just so emotionally catastrophic sometimes. But realizing that I could ask different questions now, like, how does that make you feel? Do you know how you feel right now? Are you mad at me, or are you mad at something else? And realizing that she wasn't always mad at me. She just didn't know what to do with all those emotions.
Yeah. And then she takes it out on you too.
Yeah. And so we could slow down, and I could, instead of reacting and getting triggered from her, you know, verbally going at me, and I could be like, okay, what's really going on with you? And our conversations around friends and how she feels are totally different, where before it would have been just go to your room, you have a total bad attitude, you know, feeling mm-hmm. all these things. And now I can level with her. And so it's been really nice.
Yeah. No, I mean, that sounds like it really helps you, I guess, parent in a new way that you wouldn't have known before, which I think is super helpful, because I think a lot of people, they expect you're supposed to act this certain way because you act that certain way. And that's so not the case. And I think when you really understand how people just interact and how they process their thoughts, I think it's super important. And I wish that I had like this test when I was younger, because I think it would be super helpful.
Oh yeah. In every area. And that's just it. Like when with my husband, a couple times, like one big example I can use, because this is still, we still come back to it today, which is funny, but he had gotten into it like with his boss a little bit and was like, I just don't get her this, that, and the other thing. And I don't remember what I said to him exactly, but I was like, approach it from this way, you know, and come at her and say, level with her, like, this is what's going on with me. This is how I feel when you say those things. And as a three, that's super hard to do. And I said, just see what she says. Worst case, she's not on your side. And he said they had that conversation and he was like, it was so uncomfortable. And she ended up telling him about what she was going through and how she was getting it from, you know, the other side. And they have had an awesome relationship. It's been a year and a half and totally different dynamics. Like he doesn't have any issues with her anymore. Where before it was constantly like, oh, she's just against me. She doesn't get this. You know, like I'm working so hard. How doesn't she not see it? And it was just a little tweak and it changed everything.
That's amazing. Just like, I guess the relational skills that you can use too, because I think another issue, especially just in like today's society, a lot of people have so many like relationship issues and toxic relationships or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I think by learning these skills, you're able to kind of like do a 180 in all of your relationships.
Yeah. But also to see, you know, when you start to understand your type, you know what triggers you and what you're not okay with anymore and how you get into your automatic programming, which is just from childhood. And really it's just hitting that little wound that sends you all the way back to 5 to 10 to 12, who knows what age. But then you understand, okay, is it me or is it them? And it can help you, especially in relationships, dating, to know, okay, is this toxic or is it not? Is it just me perceiving this differently?
Okay. And then you mentioned kind of like your automatic, what was it called?
Your automatic programming, like your default setting.
Okay. Yeah. So like your default setting and like how that goes in with your Enneagram number. Is your Enneagram number, I guess, innate to you? Is it just kind of like your natural tendency and then your childhood kind of determines your wings, would you say? Or do you know about how that works?
No, I would say that you are born with your type and that you start behaving in a way that, you know, based on how your parents are and how you have to get along in the world, really. So your coping strategies and things like that go kind of on top of it. But underneath, it's always that core motivation. You know, for each of us, we have a different core motivation, but we can act out in different ways based on trauma, based on our families and how the different experiences that we've had.
Okay. No, that definitely makes more sense. And so like switching gears too, I know that you tend to have a gospel-based approach with just how you coach people. And so how do you kind of use that when you're also talking about the Enneagram?
Yeah. So I like to look at it in a way of like, this is who God says you are under all of that. Because our personality and our Enneagram type isn't the end-all be-all. It is helping us to find who we truly are under it so that we can understand our gifts and really who God says we are. Because I think a lot of us pile all the other masks and stuff like that on. And I did the same thing. And that's why I do come at it from this perspective, because it helped me to realize that I don't have to be this way and that God can come in and heal those things. And I can change, where before I was a little bit more rigid and like, this is just how I am. This is just who I am. Like, take it or leave it. And it's not that. You can change. You can morph. And I always had that like, okay, how do people grow? You know, when I, like a few years ago, I was like, how do you change? How do you, like, I want tangible process. Like, give me the goods. How do I do this? I'll do all the steps. So anyways, that's how I came to kind of using the Enneagram with just a Jesus lens. I don't make it all about that, because I think it's personal for each person, but just based on my own experience with it and how it has brought me closer to God and my spirituality.
Yeah, no, I would agree, because I think, I mean, spirituality, it's a big part of my life too. Mm-hmm. And I think for a lot of people, even if they aren't like Christian as well, yeah. a lot of people, I think, at least believe in like a higher power. So I think exactly. tapping into that too, I think that can really just transform anyone's yeah. life, to be honest. And then kind of just wrapping up, so what are some great resources that people can learn more about their type and just really kind of discover what their Enneagram type is and what it's all about?
Yeah, so there is a paid test that I would recommend, and that is on the enneagraminstitute.com, I believe. It's $12. And that's going to be super in-depth. It's going to take you forever. So if you do not have like 45 minutes to take a test and you're not good at sitting still, make sure you're in the mood to sit still for a while.
Okay. Because the one I took, it was, I think, less than 10 minutes and it was free.
Yes.
So I'm not sure how accurate that one was.
Yeah. And it could be, but, you know, it just depends. So I really like that one. It's good to do. And then there's trueself.io. I really like that test. It is free. It's a little bit faster, but I like that they incorporate like pictures and images along with like, do you do this or do you do this? Because I think it just kind of activates both sides of our brains so that we can really tap into some of those emotions that maybe we wouldn't if we're just reading something. So those two, a couple of my favorite books, I'll just do like authors, Beatrice Chestnut, she has The Complete Enneagram, and that is where I found my type. I mean, the book is ginormous. I haven't gone through all of it because it's so in depth, but it's so good. Even just the first couple chapters of how she explains the Enneagram is just phenomenal. So I listen and consume all of her stuff. Your Enneagram Coach has a lot of good stuff and books and podcasts and things like that. I was actually certified through them, but I learn on, you know, from all different people now. But yeah, I would say those for the most part. The Riso Hudson, there's like the Wisdom of the Enneagram is a good book as well. But there's tons of great podcasts out there too.
Amazing. Perfect. Well, thank you so much again for coming on. And where can everyone find you on social media?
Yep. And Instagram, I do mostly Instagram at Radiantly Flourish. And then my website is radiantlyflourish.com. Hit me up over there and send me a message. I love chatting to Enneagram.
Perfect. Thank you so much. So that's the podcast for today, guys. I hope you liked it and learned a little bit. I hope that, I don't know, now you can tell your friends all of these cool Enneagram facts. I mean, now it's so funny because right now I'm obviously in my room recording this outro right now for the episode, but all my roommates are actually in the living room right now and they're taking the Enneagram test. So now we can figure out how we interact with each other and I guess develop even healthier communication skills, because we all know you can always improve on how you communicate with the people you love. But anyways, that is the episode. Make sure you follow Natasha on Instagram, and I subscribed also to her newsletter that she has. So I'll link all of that info down in the show notes below. And then also, of course, like I always say, follow me on Instagram. That's where you're going to find me most of the time. Feel free to DM me your questions. I don't know. Reach out. Talk to me. I'm always down to chat. But that's all I think I have for you guys this week. Make sure to tune in next week again for another episode of It Ain't It, Sis. And I hope you have a beautiful, beautiful week. Eat a good meal. That always makes the weeks and days go by faster when you have good food to look forward to. That's all I gotta say. I love you all, and I'll see you next week. Bye, guys.